We're doing Na'avat Chesed b'inei inyan kaze levad shuver al kama lavin mure she'en lo emuna b'yashkachat Hashem itbarach. So it's such a powerful line. You know, we could end it right here. He says, I've just illustrated in the previous paragraph how many prohibitions one would transgress if he gives a loan with interest. And yet people do. They take interest from their fellow man. And aside from the prohibitions that one transgresses when he collects interest, the action is indicative of a philosophy that one is holding, and that is that he believes that God's not really watching over what's happening here. And a person thinks that what he'll have in this world is what he manages to grab. Permissible, not permissible, that doesn't matter. Whatever you can get your hands on, that's what you'll remain with. Because if a person really believes that God is watching over the world, and that He is sustaining all His creatures, as the verse says, Hashem is the one that gives you strength to succeed. We say it in Ashrei every day. Hashem is the one that gives bread to all flesh. And if God doesn't will it, well then no one can become wealthy. If he really believed that, then he wouldn't ever enter something that the Torah prohibits. The Torah says this is not the way to make money. Taking interest is not the way to get rich. The Torah prohibits it. So why does a person take interest? Because he feels like it's up to me to get rich. God isn't the one running the show here. And we'll pick up here. There's Hashem next time. Something to think about. And it's not only about interest. It's about any time a person cheats on his taxes or does all kinds of other things that... really, a person has to stop and ask himself, why am I doing it? If God's running the show, why am I doing it? And I'll share with you a fantastic story that happened to me just 2-3 weeks ago. I was traveling to the United States, and a few people asked me to bring in money for them. So there were sizable amounts of money, and I ended up, I didn't realize it, I had $10,150 on me, almost all of which was not my money. But that's what I had on me. And you have to fill out a form when you enter the United States that you don't have, you're not carrying in livestock or other things, and you do not have over $10,000 on you. So I'm looking at this form, and I was in a rush packing for the plane. I had calculated in advance that I'd take under $10,000. But in the rush, I was supposed to buy one more thing before I left, and I didn't end up getting that. And I ended up having the cash from that, so I had an extra amount of money on me, and they count shekels and dollars. And I'm sitting there on the plane an hour before landing, and I start counting the money. Okay, this is for this guy, this is for that guy, this is for the third guy. I'm a messenger for a bunch of people, but I have over $10,000. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what do I do now? The form says if you have over 10, you have to declare it. We won't tax it. It just has to go on record. And if you don't declare it, then the customs officer can take all your money away. They don't have to leave you with a penny. So I'm looking at it and I'm asking myself, the guy next to me has a long beard. He's a doctor in Har-Nof. Maybe I should give him $500 and tell him, you know, you take that in, and when we get to Israel, when we get to the United States, you'll give it back to me after we pass customs. I look at the form and it says you're not allowed to do that on the form. So then I ask myself, well, who's going to know, right? You sit there and you start having all these thoughts. I noticed waiting on the online that there was a Rosh Yeshiva who I know from Israel. He doesn't know me, but I know him from his shiurim online. So I said to myself, you know, the guy next to me, he might be a respectable doctor in Hanof, but I can't even write a contract with him. So I'm trusting him with $500. I don't know him for beans. I only know he's a doctor in Hanof. So maybe I should give that rabbi, him I know. But he doesn't know me. Why should he do me that favor? And anyways, it says you're not allowed to do that on the form. So I'm sitting there and I'm starting to sweat. I'm on the plane. I have other people's money. And if I walk in and I don't declare it, then I risk having it confiscated. So I start thinking, you know, in my youth I was a magician. So I start thinking about different ways that I could get it in and they'll never catch it. Then I tell myself, well, who knows, maybe they're x-raying the people, and if you do something suspicious, that'll only attract more attention. Maybe there's a chemical in the dollar bill that actually turns up on their machines. And And then I tell myself, wait a second, but anyways, that's illegal. You know, they tell you have to declare if you're bringing in more than 10. So then you start telling yourself, yeah, but it's not my money. I'm not really bringing in more than 10, but I have no paperwork to prove it. You know, if they catch me and they ask me a question, I can say, you know, this isn't mine and that's not mine, but why should they believe me? So I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? And after 10 minutes, it dawned on me that why don't I just go and declare the money, you know? I'm not doing anything illegal. I have to fill out forms, and you know, the form says above 10, write that you're bringing in above 10. You'll fill out forms, but no one's going to take it from you. But what struck me is that for 15 minutes I was standing there deliberating how to get around the law, and now only after 15 minutes did it dawn on me, hey, wait a second, buddy, why not just do what the law says? And I thought about it afterwards. It really bothered me. Why for 15 minutes am I thinking this plan, that plan, the third plan, and to do the letter of the law? That was like, yeah, that's what I should do, but why but? So then the story, obviously, I stood online, I went in, I waited online for an hour and a half. I ended up costing me a long time. When I came to fill out the form, the guy over there told me, you should know that if we would have taken you aside and checked you, and you had 1 cent over $10,000, then we could have taken it all away. You wouldn't have had any of it. He said, every day we have people here crying, weeping, as their life savings is taken from them because they didn't declare it. And why don't they declare it? We don't take a penny from them. They didn't take a penny from me. And then they weren't even interested in the forms. They said, for $150 over, forget it. They tore up the form. They said, go home. The Chafetz Chaim says what drives us very often is the thought that my success and failure is contingent on what I do. We have to know that there's a system and we have a responsibility to work within that system, and God is running the show. And at the end of the day, if you've done the best you could, so then whether you'll succeed or not is in His hands. You're not going to run the show. So you tell yourself, what are the odds they're going to pull me over? But can I risk other people's money with the question of what are the odds they're going to pull me over? You know, it's not my money. I'm just doing people a favor. The Rambam writes that the story of Yaakov and Lavan appears in the Torah, and the Torah specifically goes into great detail telling us how Lavan continuously tried swindling Yaakov, and it was not successful. The Rambam writes because the way people think is that you can't succeed in business unless you cheat. Everyone thinks that. You know, you got to cheat on your taxes here, you got to schmear over there. Comes the Torah and shows us Yaakov Avinu, who was honest. And not only was he honest, he was dealing with someone who continuously tried being dishonest with him to get the money out of him. And Hashem says, I'm not going to let that happen. So the Torah is teaching us, you got to do yours. Yaakov Avinu also worked his natural means with the way he positioned the sheep, the way he watered the sheep, the way he crossbred the sheep. He also worked intelligently to succeed. He worked with genetics and he was successful, but his success was not because of that. His success was because Hashem said, if you're fear, so then I'm going to ensure that you succeed. Our success or lack thereof is not contingent on whether I cheat the system or don't cheat the system. And we often have to remind ourselves that. It shocked me just 2 weeks ago how it took me 15 minutes to come up with this ingenious idea. Hey, why don't you just do what you're supposed to do? Just work with the system. I don't know why. I'm still trying to figure out why it took me 15 minutes to come up with that. It's not an issue of fun.
Yeah, no, let's face it, cheating the government is so much fun.
No, I don't. You know, I don't have a penny. That's what I told myself afterwards. I don't have a penny that I didn't declare on taxes. I don't have a penny that's illegal. So what am I worried about? You know, I'm not... There's nothing they could hold against me. I paid taxes on every cent there, so I'm allowed to travel with money. No, that's not the point.
That's what you were thinking about.
Nope. I'm not clear. For whatever reason, the feeling was, I can't... I'm doing something wrong if I walk in with over 10. And that's an incorrect approach. I just have to fill out forms if I'm doing it. I'm not doing anything wrong. And the question is, I still don't know why my first thought was, I'm doing something wrong. Uh-oh, I wasn't going to do this. Now I'm stuck. How do I get out of it? I'm not stuck. But I don't know why that was the first train of thought. I don't know. It struck me, and I still don't know why.
Did you subconsciously think it would take some longer?
That's what they told me. I asked the border policeman. I said to him, you know, it struck me that it took me 15 minutes to come to the conclusion to fill out the form. Yes, I do have over 10. Could you explain to me, is there something about the form that's scary? I'm trying to understand. I said to him, I'm at odds with myself. I can't figure out why. So he said to me that most people think, even though, I told him this, yeah, we had a friendly conversation. So he told me that most people really think that. Most people think that if they declare it somehow, the government's going to find a way of taking something from them. He said that that's really what most people think, and that's why they don't declare.
Could it be that maybe in Israel, like, the country you've grown up in, or you spend a long time, and you've got used to, maybe people say, oh, the government will take the squeeze shit, and that's in your subconscious.
That's what he said. He said people are coming from countries where the government doesn't really work with a fair system, and the government is always finding ways to take their money. So they know that if in their country they would declare how much they really have, then the government would take it from them. And they don't realize that here it doesn't work that way. That's what he said. I don't know. I still don't have the answer to it. It reminds me of an old joke. They say it about, you know, each group says it about another group, you know, the stereotypes that a wife comes to her husband, you could say the wife was, you know, every group has their group that they make fun of. So whatever you want to say, the wife comes and she says to her husband, they say you have to declare how old you are for this government form. Should I write that I'm older? And then they'll give me more benefits. Should I write that I'm younger? And then maybe they'll give me more benefits. So the husband asks her, why not write your real age? So she looks at him and says, gee, I didn't even think of that. So that's what I felt like there. I didn't even think of that. Why not? You know, the most obvious thing is to do what's right. And why? I don't know. But I'm saying, I think on some level, it comes back to this point of the Chafetz Chaim. That on some level, we think that our success or lack thereof is going to be contingent on how much can I trick the system. And as much as we tell ourselves, no, that's not how things work, it does creep up on us, that attitude. And we have to keep reminding ourselves that's not the way things work. There's a hand that runs things, and if I do things the right way, then however it plays itself out, he's running the show. There's nothing else that's running the show. I have to do my best. You know, I don't have to be stupid. I have to figure out how to avoid paying taxes if I could, legally. If there are ways to, you know, if there are ways to make more money and lose less money, why not? But at the end of the day, to work with the system.